Michael W. Dean.
What it be? How are you?
What it is? What does it do? I'm good, man. Chilling, sitting here, drinking coffee out of my Freedom Fiends podcast coffee mug.
What microphone are you using today?
I'm using my condenser mic. Hold on, let me look at the label here.
I think you could turn back up about 5% now.
It's an AKG Perception 100. Turn up 5%.
Yeah. Are you in a kind of like bathroom type room or?
Yeah. Is it too much reverb?
A little bit. I mean, no, it sounds like a person in a room. It doesn't sound like the usual Fiend studio quality volume, but we can work with it and you're going to soundproof that room, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think the problem is I've soundproofed the walls a little bit, but there's a sliding glass door that I haven't figured out a way to soundproof yet or haven't put the work into it yet. So I think that's where the echo's coming from, is from behind me with those sliding glass doors.
Yeah, it's sound condition, not soundproof. But
if you just
hang up a furry blanket on it, it would do it.
Yeah, that's probably what I'll do as a short-term thing. In fact, if it's really bugging you, I could do that now. But I don't think it's that big of a deal. Maybe I'll do it at the break.
But, yeah, that sounds good. Speaking of but
yes.
We've been experimenting with a program called Butt, which allows us to have our own streaming server. We tried a test yesterday. The Fiends have a streaming server. If you go to our website, there's now a link that says Listen Now. It's a blue link on the right with a speaker on it. That is our 24/7 feeding server. It's kind of like a station WFEN. And if you you can bookmark that and you can listen anytime you want to The Fiends, and there's, you know, 90 some episodes and a bunch of music on there, and it rarely repeats. It takes weeks to repeat. So, but we're going to start doing a thing where some Wednesdays we're actually going to do a live show like we're doing now and take callers using our server, not the LRN server, and then putting it up like normal on the streaming feed at night, which also goes on the LRN server. It'll just allow us to have more interaction with the world and get out of our windowless bunker in a virtual way.
Yeah, I think it's also great for, you know, timely things like the Aurora shooting or anything that we feel we want to put some freedom-minded commentary out there to sort of cut through all the statist MSM BS that goes on, like, what are we going to do about all these guns and stuff like that? Sort of cut through that BS and get it out there quick so people don't have to wait until, you know, days for the next Fiends cast.
Yep, and the shooting in Aurora, Colorado is going to be a major subject today, but before we get to that, we have an interview we're going to read that we did with the creator of this program called Butt, which stands for Broadcast Using This Tool. You know, I can hear every click you, I can hear every click you make really loud. I don't know what's up, but
okay, I'll stop clicking.
So you want to pull up this interview? I'll be me and you be him.
Okay.
This is an exclusive interview. I've not seen an interview with Daniel Nolthin, if I'm pronouncing that right, the creator of Butt, which is Broadcast Using This Tool, B-U-T-T, which is a great utility for running your own streaming server and not having to go to some other service or pay a lot of money to do it. Yesterday's cast, which was a between episodes cast, has directions on how to use Butt. And we'll be taking calls after the first break, after we're done with this interview. So hold off on your calls, please, and your comments and praise for Butt until after the applause. So, Nima, you want to start with this interview? I'm going to be me and you be him.
Okay, I'll be him. And the reason we're doing this, from what I understand, is he didn't really want to do the audio interview. Is that right?
It's the second question in the interview.
Okay.
He explains it. Okay, so I said, Daniel, I really like your Butt program. I'm a big fan of programs that do one thing and one thing only and do it really well, have no bloat. It's not a bloated butt, and have simple and have simple interfaces. I wish more software was like that.
Thanks. This principle comes from the Unix way of programming. For every task, you have a little tool that does only what it is intended for.
And I said, here are my questions for you. I'll read the answers and your answers on the show.
This is really cool. Can't wait for listening to it afterwards. You are free to translate my answers into correct American English.
You just did while you were reading it. okay. He said he didn't. I invited him to come on the show and do a live interview, and he said he couldn't for several reasons. And I said, what are your reasons?
And he said, I have some small reasons which could be solved if they wouldn't exist in parallel, and one killer reason. One, I have never used Skype before. I would need to set it up and test it before I call into a live show. Two, I don't have a mic anymore. And three, I'm very unexperienced in free speaking English. Our conversation would probably consist more of silence because I have to find the right words as of speech. The main reason for not being able to participate on this live show is that I live in Germany. This isn't a problem per se, but our time zones differ 7 hours. I simply don't want to set my alarm clock to 2 a.m. Central Eastern Time, or I guess that's standard Eastern time he means, for being live in your show at 7 p.m.
How did you come to make Butt?
As I started programming Butt, I was a heavy Linux user and an internet radio DJ at the same time. Unfortunately, there wasn't a good working streaming application for Linux on the net. One app was completely command line based, and the other one crashed as soon as you had your eyes on it. So both weren't a real choice. To get around this, I installed Windows on the same machine, which was running Linux as well. So every time I had my radio show, I needed to boot into Windows and back after the show. It doesn't need a lot of imagination that this process hasn't been a good solution. Then I bought a new PC for unknown reasons. Can't remember exactly why. Now I had two machines, one running Linux and one running Windows. At this point, I only needed to start my Windows PC when the show began. On the long term, this wasn't very satisfying. Also, then one day or night, I had an idea. Hey, why don't you just write your own streaming application if all the others suck? Soon, I started a bit of research, and the answer was, it should be doable. Butt was born. But I'm not sure why I made Butt platform independent. Probably because a lot of my internet DJ colleagues who ran Windows were interested in this tool. And if you write a program for two platforms, the third main platform should not be ignored. Also, it was a challenge for me in which I learned a lot of things.
Yeah, Butt is available for Windows, Linux, and Mac, which is pretty cool. There aren't a lot of freeware programs that work that are available for all three. And it's actually shareware. It's free, totally free to download the full working version, but he invites people to make donations. And the Fiends made a donation of €9, which turned out to be $11.20 or something. So, I linked on yesterday's, and I will link on today's cast, his butt site where you can donate. So let's see. How long did it take?
I uploaded the first version in mid-2007. From then on, I released a new version almost every month until mid-2008. In this year, I didn't do much else than using every free minute in my leisure time for coding on Butt.
What is Butt written in?
Butt is written in a mix of C and C++. It uses FLTK as a GUI toolkit, which relies on C++. Because I wasn't very familiar with C++ as I started to code Butt, I decided to write all non-GUI-related stuff in C. The result is a horrible-looking code, but hey, it's stable. Nowadays, I would write well-structured, object-oriented C++ code. My fingers are prickling now. I have no time for answering the next question. I need to get out the dusty compiler. What does he mean by the dusty compiler?
Maybe a trusty compiler. Compiler is what you use to make a program out of the code. Okay, how many downloads have you had?
The download statistics of SourceForge are kind of unbelievable. The per-month downloads are currently a bit over 3,000. 2011, they were at approximately 1,700 per month. Overall, it has been downloaded more than 65,000 times. A long time, I was wondering why the download counter goes up and up, although I haven't released a new version for a long time. I think it is the podcasters who make this possible.
65,000 times. Well, you know, they say everyone's a DJ, right?
Yeah, might as well be.
How much money have you made on it?
In the sum, I've made a negative amount of money. For making the Mac OS export, I needed an OS X platform. I bought an old Mac Mini on eBay. I also bought a book which covers network programming on Unix system. As everyone knows, the more special the content of a book is, the more expensive it gets. Of course, some people donated me low amounts of money, but I can count on the donations with one, maybe two hands. I don't want to moan about the low amount of donations and money respectively. My intention was never to get rich with Butt. I wouldn't mind if this would happen, though. The main intention was to build a tool which satisfies my own requirements and to learn. And we'll have more guys coming up after this short... Man, I don't know what to call it now.
We'll have a little more Butt after the...
A little more Butt.
Buttless interlude here.
Please look forward to the Butt.
Hi, I'm Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate.
I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmiths. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmiths. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kitties.
Available in 4 strengths and 10 delicious flavors. Reds, Classics, Turkish, Menthol, Strawberry, Cherry, Vanilla, Coffee, Minty Mint, and Cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com. Use coupon code FREEDOMFIEND to get 25% off your order. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths at Vaporsmiths.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends live. Nima's duct taping the bottom of the sinking ship here. Well, not sinking, just Nima's doing some fixing his mic.
I'm live doing radio, some sound folks. Rigging, and it is not working out. The problem was Michael could hear my typing, and that means you, the audience, can hear my typing. So I'm just going to try to type as little as possible because I did not figure out a solution for that.
Just stop typing. Okay, we're going to finish up this interview with Daniel Nothan, the author of the program But, which we're going to be using from now on, well, some Wednesdays and some non-Wednesday or Sunday days to do emergency casts, which we'll post on Facebook. So are you ready there, Nima as Daniel?
I'm going to now be Daniel, so I'm no longer Nima as of now.
Well, Daniel doesn't have a mic, so you shouldn't be messing with a mic. Okay, Daniel, what other programs have you written?
No one that would be worth a mention. My first real big program was a network app. With that, you were able to generate and send your own network packets, IP, TCP, UDP, ICMP. It wasn't widely spread on the internet.
I will interject that I think it's really cool that this guy has devoted years to working on one app for one thing that is amazing. I mean, I kind of liken apps like this to aspirin. Aspirin is a drug that does one thing only, does it pretty well, isn't expensive, and has a simple interface. How old are you, Daniel?
I'll be 28 years old on the coming Friday, July 27th.
Yay! Happy birthday!
Yay!
How long have you been programming?
I've been programming for about 12 years now, with little gaps, though. In my youth, I wanted to be a security hacker, the good one who checks networks for security holes and fixes them. I'm not far away from this quote-unquote dream now. I design hard and software for radar systems and the like to code on microcontrollers.
I'm assuming he doesn't do that for the neighbors. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know who. Anyway, so how did you learn to program?
I was a user of a German security board. Its name was ItSecureX. Some people of this board, me included, have joined up in a corresponding IRC channel. If you hang around with those kind of guys, it is a logical consequence that you get the idea of learning programming yourself. Now, I had to choose a programming language. C was the coolest and the one with the best reputation. Visual Basic, e.g., had the reputation for being for noobs. And who wants to be a noob? So I decided to start learning C, Jesse, fortunately one guy, his name is Mush, helped me learning difficult things. For example, what pointer arithmetic is for and how it works. I really needed a long time to understand how programming works, and I'm still thankful for him for having been patient with me. We are still hanging around in the IRC together, but have never seen each other. This is cool somehow. Nowadays, I don't program in my free time anymore. Instead of being addicted to computers, I'm addicted into doing sports now, doing strength training, jogging, and playing tennis. It's a nice compensation of your daily computer job.
And I will interject, quite a the opposite of what most people think of nerds as doing, as being pasty, pale people who sit in a basement with stick arms, barely able to type on the computer. He's a guy who gets out and does physical stuff. That's cool. So, do you do streaming audio yourself?
No, not anymore. I was a DJ at shouted.fm/mth.electro for 2 years or so. I had a weekly show named Frequency Response with a friend of mine, Jens Beckman.
Jens. In this show, pronounced Jens.
Jens Beckman. Thank you for correcting my German. In this show, we presented our fresh, minimal techno vinyls. Today, I don't DJ anymore.
It's probably Jens Beckman.
Beckman.
I love the name Butt. It makes me laugh. What inspired you to call the program Butt?
Yeah, I heard it on the last podcast. Always you say Butt, you have a smile in your face. The kudos for the name go Syntax, my best friend. I'm not very creative with names, so I asked him if he had an idea. He gave me a handful of suggestions, and then I decided to take Butt. Because the tool was originally written for Linux and on Unix system, funny acronyms are very popular. Not all people like the name, though. On some blog comments, people said something like, "Most Linux software looks ugly and have bad names." I have received a mail from a feminist yet.
I haven't.
I have not. I have not received mail from a feminist yet, so I think the name is okay.
Well, I'd say feminists don't know how to use computers, so they'll never find Butt. Ooh!
Now we're going to receive mail from feminists.
Anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, thanks for letting me be part of your show.
Excellent. So that's our interview with Daniel Nopin, the creator of Butt. And for more on Butt, go to the Freedom Fiend site. There are links to all your Butt needs.
Excellent. Yeah, I think Butt's gonna really help the Fiends, man. I mean, yeah. Being able to broadcast live whenever we want. That's an amazing thing.
I mean,
I was thinking about that the other day. You know, how do we take the place of the mainstream media? And I think things like this is one of the ways, you know, having that outlet to where people can listen to live real-time commentary at any time of the day, because that's why TV is so popular, because Americans just have it on in their living room all day, every day. And it's timely. It's not recorded. It's live right there.
And, you know, we have the streaming 24/7 Fiends link, which, you can listen to instead of listening to the news. Although if you want current stuff, we're going to start butting in with that from now on occasionally. And you got the LRN feed, which is pretty current. You know, it's weekly and daily podcasts and live shows. So there is alternative anarcho-capitalist media out there. It hasn't quite replaced Fox News yet. And when it comes close, the government will probably come in and tax it. But Yeah, for now.
Yeah, I was pondering on that the other day, you know, thinking of what we can do to expand this whole thing, and, you know, not just the Fiends, but Liberty Media in general. And I think we've talked about this before. Wouldn't it be great to have, you know, an anarchist TV station, cable station, whatever, just something that was on 24/7 that the average person would have the chance of coming across while they're flipping the channels. But then I was thinking, you know, it might be tough to find advertisers to support something that would cost that much.
Free Talk Live is on a bunch of real radio stations, like above ground licensed large output radio stations. And they have, and they're on XM Radio, they have a listenership of about 100,000 people. And they get ads. I mean, they get ads. I heard an ad for Sun Chips the other day on Free Talk Live. That's not an anarchist product. I think they're probably made by Monsanto, or, you know, some company that uses a lot of Monsanto. You know, they're part of the food industrial complex is what I'm saying.
Yes.
I was happy to hear that on there.
I was too. But I think TV, like having a 24/7 cable news station, it'd be a lot more expensive than doing something like Free Talk Live or LRN. And not saying that those things aren't amazing, but for some reason, I guess for a lot of reasons, TV is just so much more expensive, both because of the equipment you need and I guess because of access, which I think is another barrier that you'd have to figure out a way to get around being an anarchist.
Well, you know, KU Band Radio that Free Talk Live and LRN also broadcast on, which they mainly use to feed their affiliates, the feed in higher quality than streaming internet. I believe you can broadcast TV on that, and it costs like $500 or $1,000 a month to broadcast on it, and the receivers and the discs cost about $200, and people just don't want to go out and do that, so... You know,
yeah,
we got to do it with
the internet. Right now. I guess we'll see what the future holds. And if you stay with us, the future holds more fiends for you. So go ahead and do that.
Worms.
Should decisions on what you put in your body be left up to people whose very job depends on keeping certain plants illegal? Or do you believe in freedom of ingestion? The Janome Project is a cannabis science community founded by a leading DNA scientist. We fight ignorance with information. We don't have all of the answers, but we put all of our proceeds into finding them. If this requires sequencing the genomes of a forbidden plant, we've done it. If it requires leaving the country for the free pursuit of science, we've done that as well. The Janome Project is an ongoing crowdsourced experiment in free pursuit of the truth on cannabinoid sciences. Join us and participate in studying Mary Jane's genome. Get the app by searching Jane-Ome on iTunes. The app is only $1.99 and all proceeds go to furthering and disseminating scientific truth. You must be 17 or older to download the app. Search Janome on iTunes. That's Jane-Ome.
Tired of the false economy? Want to carry real money in a form that people will dig getting? Don't Tread on Meme now has Freedom Fiends and Guns and Weed Silver Dime cards. Collect all four. Trade them with your friends. Freedom Fiends Silver Dime cards are also great for starting conversations with statists about liberty. Go to freedomfiends.com today and click the link at the top that says Silver Dime Cards. That's freedomfiends.com.
Yo.
Yo.
What almost said, I almost said Freedom's Phoenix here because we're just listening to an ad.
Yeah, yeah. No, so we are Freedom Fiends, not Freedom's Phoenix.
So I will add... we sound like Freedom's Phoenix in our name, and we sound Freedom Fiends Live sounds like Free Talk Live. And none of that was intentional.
Right, we're not trying to confuse you and be the toy with a similar name that your mom buys you for Christmas that you didn't want.
So I'll say one last thing about Butt, is that Butt is free and takes the place of a program called Sam Broadcaster, which costs like hundreds of dollars. You know, the Sam Broadcaster does more, like you can automate stuff and it does cheesy stuff. Like I looked at it and it has like a bunch of built in sound effects buttons, like, you know, the cat being thrown and the cheering crowd and the screaming woman and like
and the air that? Horn that you hear in radio hip hop all the time now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So we've taken a detour here from our usual complaining about the government. I think it's time to get back to that.
Is it? You're so like bipolar with that. You're like, I don't want to talk about the government. Yeah, let's talk about the government.
Well, there's a lot of government to talk about this week. One is you sent me a video called A Hilarious Take on Shovel Ready, which was a joke. Part of it was a joke video of some guys who were like pitching this idea of we're going to start this company and get government funding where we dig holes and fill them in, which is kind of a takeoff on something they used to do in the army to keep people busy. They would actually have people, you know, soldiers dig holes and fill them in. But did you watch that whole thing? I mean, they actually went undercover with some union bosses in New York and convinced them to help get funding for this.
Yeah, and to me, that was the real meat of it. I mean, it's kind of a played-out joke, the whole, you know, digging a hole, filling it back in, although they did do it really well. But yeah, I thought the really interesting part was, they go undercover to these union bosses, and they keep trying to say, hey, all we're doing is filling in holes. Do you think we could get money for it? And the guys are like, yeah, we got a guy in the Democrat Party, a guy in the Republican Party. You just give it a fancy name, and they'll give us some money. It's all about the money, and then we'll figure out what to do with it once we get the money.
Yeah, and they're like sitting there with their beefy arms crossed with their union name behind them on a big banner in their office.
Yeah.
And they also, this video also edited in, like, you know, various people from different organizations that aren't necessarily the government or unions that work with this. They had one short interview from a guy from the Cornell Cooperative Extension Department, which works with a lot of, like, you know, where to put government money. You know, they're kind of a think tank at a university. The interesting thing is, my sister worked at the Cornell University Cooperative Extension Department for about 20 years and got laid off this past year. She probably had too much. She probably had too much ethics. I don't know.
Maybe. Did she ever tell you stories about feeling kind of grimy about the way they were working or anything like that? Probably not, because she's pretty status, isn't she?
She loves the Democrats, man.
Yeah. And you know, these union guys, it's not like they were feeling like they were evil. You know, it's not like the Simpsons Republicans in a back room where it's Mr. Burns and, like,
drinking blood.
Yeah, I mean, they knew what they were doing, but they thought it was still beneficial. One of the guys, one of the bosses says, you know, it's not, because the guys were obviously of a libertarian bent, the undercover guys, and they were even if that's all we're doing. And the guy's like, no, the union guy's like, no, you're making jobs, and that's what it's really about, is putting food on some guy's table.
Yeah, are you sure they were libertarian and not right wing? I mean, that's a big thing with right wing youngsters now, is, you know, attack videos like the Acorn thing.
Maybe. Although
they did say, you know, I mean, they didn't edit it much, but the guy, one of the union guys said, yeah, we got a lobbyist in the Democratic Party and one in the Republican Party, and we take care of whatever we need with that.
Yeah. And the guys didn't edit it out. You know, they weren't like trying to blast. I didn't get the feeling like they were just trying to blast the Democrats there. It kind of felt like they were trying to blast the system itself. You know, the programs where the state takes your money and basically gives it to whoever can give the best pitch. Not really about what the best work is, but whoever can give the best pitch. And, you know, it's not you making decisions with where to spend your money. It's the government stealing your money and making decisions on where to spend it.
So the other thing that there's been a lot of government this week involved with, indirectly or directly, is the shooting in Aurora, Colorado. Let's talk about that for a while.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a tragedy and it's really horrible. But you were pointing out that as you were watching it, even on Fox News, a place where, you know, I don't watch a lot of Fox News, but I would imagine that they wouldn't be on board with this whole letting people talk about gun control and what do we need to do now and how do we keep guns out of people's hands so this doesn't happen again kind of thing. But apparently the anti-gun lobby is taking this as a big opportunity, seems like.
Yeah, and I mean, Fox isn't screaming for gun control the way MSNBC is, but they're kind of hinting at it. And, you know, I mean, I look at it as like, all of the major news outlets are just arms of the state, whether it's intentional and there's, like, you know, eight businessmen in some back room writing all the scripts, or whether it's unintentional and just that's the way the news reacts to things.
Yeah, I would go, it's probably a mix of both, but yeah. I think to me it tends to be more unintentional. Like, that's just the culture, I feel like, in newsrooms, is sort of a status mentality. At least from the newsrooms I've been in, which I've never been in a national newsroom, but I imagine it's even more of a status sort of culture in thinking about how problems need to be solved in some place like Fox News or CNN.
You know, there's all these conspiracy theories about, like, you know, the world is secretly run by eight Jews who work in the Vatican or something. I don't think it is. I think the world is secretly run by Frank Luntz, the guy who, like, tells everyone how to spin everything on both sides. He's the man behind the curtain.
He's the one who, well, I guess it's entirely possible. If he's so good at spinning things, he could, I mean, that's where the real power is, right?
He's
the man, in people's minds.
He's the man behind the curtain. Yeah.
Yep. And then you pointed out that AMC theaters, in reaction to this, wanted to ban masks.
They have. And a lot of other things. Oh, people have way overreacted on this. I mean, like, LAPD is putting cops with rifles in every theater. In Paris, they canceled the premiere of the movie that had the stars in attendance. And, like, the stars, like, slipped out the back to avoid getting mobbed by angry fans and reporters. I mean, think about that. Like, there's no chance that this is a coordinated effort and there's going to be more of them, or even maybe copycats, but you can't get a gun in England. So although that doesn't stop people, they still do it. Some guy could run around with a shovel bashing people in the head, or a cricket bat.
Yeah. I think that's really important, too. I know it's kind of played out in cliche that guns don't kill people, people kill people. But, you know, when I read this AMC to ban masks thing, I was thinking, you know, having all these signs like no masks allowed, no guns allowed, if that kind of stuff really worked, why not just say no mass murdering allowed?
Yeah. Well, my take,
no killing people while you're watching the movie, if that kind of stuff actually worked.
The theater chain that this happened at has a no guns policy. It's come out that and they actually have a small sign somewhere in the theater near the front that says that. And my question is, if it was a gun free zone, why didn't the guy's guns refuse to enter the building?
Right. Didn't he read the sign? That's the big problem. You need to make the sign bigger mass murderers read the sign.
No, he doesn't need to read it. The guns just comply. They just drop to the ground and become really heavy. Yeah.
Well, that reminds me of Boston, you know, predicting or talking about the fact that there could be smart guns, you know, guns that will shut down or refuse to fire. Well, he wasn't predicting that. Situations.
I mean, that's been in – they exist. But his comment on it was, computers and batteries and radio uplinks fail. Right. Even if something works, you know, only fails 1 out of 1,000 times, that's not good enough to depend my life on.
Yeah, that's a good point. But, I mean, that stuff like that does exist. I know that, but not really in civilian life. I mean, you go to Academy or your local gun shop and you can't really buy a gun like that. Nobody would buy it. Nobody would want to buy it.
They'd like to have that be the only kind, and they're probably working towards it. I mean, there's actually a theory. Exactly. There's a theory out there that this thing in Aurora is some kind of Manchurian candidate brainwashing thing to help push through the UN gun ban that's being looked at by the Senate soon. And we'll talk about that more soon.
Yeah, the timing is definitely scary. You know, it's too early to jump onto anything like that, especially without any real evidence. But stay tuned and we'll definitely go into that a little bit deeper too.
I think everyone should look at everything as a government plot. It makes stuff more fun.
There you go. More Fiends coming up. Yo.
Freedom Fiends Live.
Yeah, we haven't given out the call-in number yet, though.
Yeah, let's give it out. We have a lot to say about the shooting in Aurora and how the government may be behind it. But what's the call-in number, Nima?
Call-in number is 307-215-5171. So if you have any thoughts or evidence or anything at all on your mind, just go ahead and give us a call. Again, that number is 307-215-5171.
So I think I want to call this episode Download Movies, It Could Save Your Life. Do you think that's too
soon? Excellent sentiment.
Too soon?
No, I don't think it's too soon. I never really ascribe to the whole too soon stuff. Like, whenever I've said that to people, it's always been a joke.
Yeah.
I think something is sayable at any point in time. Things can be in bad taste, but I'm not so sure that time
they're still really in bad taste 2 weeks later. They're still in bad taste exactly. 2 weeks later. Yeah, there's actually there's an Onion News thing about this shooting that's basically like, the problem is everyone in America knows exactly how this will play out. They know how many times the local sheriff will give a press conference. They know exactly what the NRA will say. They know exactly what the gun banners will say. They know exactly how many candlelight vigils will be held at local area high schools. And then. Most sadly of all, everyone knows that in exactly 2 weeks, no one will remember this happened.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, it is. It's kind of like a repeat, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like TV has episodes, and this is just a repeat. Not to downplay its significance or, you know, the people who died, but that's a good point the Onion makes there, I think. That the powers that be sort of play with this kind of stuff in the same way that they do anytime, almost as if they have a script that they just wait on. You know, kind of like how when a celebrity's old, a TV station will have an obituary already in the can for when they die. It almost feels like that, like they just have these sort of talking points in place for whenever there is a mass murder.
Did you ever see the 30 Rock where they decide to pre-tape a tribute show? Like for a natural disaster.
For Jenna?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah. That was hilarious.
Jenna's the star of it, but the song is like, where were you when the thing happened that happened to the people that the thing happened to?
Yeah. So yeah, pretty much just like that. Before the break, though, you were mentioning the different things about this case that kind of make it feel like, huh, isn't that suspicious? Again, this isn't evidence. We're not presenting a conspiracy theory. But people have pointed out some of the uniquenesses of this specific case, such as the timing. I mean, it is, what, 1 week before the national government, the people in charge of, I guess, approving or ratifying treaties. And they're going to be talking about the UN Small Arms Treaty or the Small Arms Ban. I'm not sure exactly what it's called.
Yeah, something like that. It's something that has been in the wings and in the works for years and is basically could be interpreted as a runaround on the Second Amendment. It's the basic idea of it is we need to stop countries from getting small arms, which sounds like, you know, to most people, oh, good, you're going to keep pirates in Somalia from getting rocket launchers and AK-47s. But it's so broadly written or actually so specifically written that it could keep, you know, American hunters from getting AK-47s and deer rifles. Or they could do things like, you know, outlaw concealed carry. They can't really get rid of the Second Amendment. They can't really get rid of guns. They can make it illegal for you to carry guns. They can make it really hard to get bullets. They can do all sorts of things that infringe and violate the Second Amendment and still be able to say, we didn't take away the Second Amendment. You still got your guns.
Yeah, which I guess I kind of don't understand because I feel like, why are they unable to just cross it out on the Bill of Rights? Because they obviously cross out the word called infringed. Do people just not know what that word infringed means? Is that why they can get away with infringing all the time?
And the Supreme Court upheld infringement, basically, yeah, exactly. In the Heller case. You know, they said it was okay.
I just don't understand that. How they can totally infringe, basically throw the Second Amendment in the trash. Not that I'm a Constitution humper, but they can totally disregard it, and yet they feel like they should stop short somehow of actually defuncting it somehow.
I have a theory, and I'm going to make a weird prediction here. I like making predictions like this because if they come to pass, people go, whoa, he had a crystal ball. And if they don't, people forget it. So I'm going to make one of those. I think the guy that did the shooting is going to get killed in prison by another inmate. I really do.
What makes you think that?
Because
it's such a horrendous crime?
Because I kind of just think the whole thing is a false flag, and it might really be. And that'd be a convenient way to, you know, if they dosed him with scopolamine, you know, which is that drug that the zombie drug that's used in South America to make people commit crimes and for cartels and be sex slaves. Scopolamine is it's from a tree, and it's basically a powder that when you dose somebody with it, they are lucid, like they can speak, they can walk, they can drive a car, but they are controllable. I mean, you can tell, you know, a loving mother to kill her children on scopolamine and she'll do it. And the CIA used it in really small doses as truth serum going back like 70 years. There's a theory that may have been involved here. I mean, there are a lot of questions like how does an unemployed college student get $20,000 worth of weapons and tactical gear and explosives and all sorts of stuff? Why would someone who, booby traps his house to kill anybody who goes in it afterwards, tell the cops the house is booby trapped once he's taken into custody? Why would someone who is obviously planning to shoot as many people as possible, wearing a body armor, trying to live as long as possible so he can shoot as many, but generally people who do this kind of stuff expect to be taken out by a sniper's bullet, why would he give up so readily without a struggle, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's the question that kind of made me go, huh. Like when we were talking on the phone about it, I hadn't actually read anything the morning of, and you called me, and you know, I was like, I assume he just offed himself or was killed by the cops. And
everyone,
like,
assumed,
no,
that.
They got him. You know, he walked out and calmly surrendered as if he had just, you know, was pulling over for a traffic stop. So that kind of stuck in my craw. The money thing doesn't get to me too much. I mean, he could have had, you know, family that was supporting him financially and he just diverted it to weapons. I mean, it's really not – it's expensive to buy a bunch of guns, but people do it all the time. I mean, there's mall ninjas everywhere, and he struck me as sort of a mall ninja. But
there's also very little record of the guy on the internet. Like, you know, no Facebook page, no YouTube stuff, no rants on the internet, no screeds, which is doesn't prove anything on its own, but it's quite unusual for someone to, you know, and usually people that do high profile killings like this have all sorts of footprints all over the internet. This guy had none. I mean, he had, you know, he had no, and the people that knew him had no inkling, you know, generally like, you know, the shooter in, Virginia Tech, like, you know, family and friends were worried about him. The guy who shot the congressman, you know, had been in a mental institution and people were worried about him. This guy, nobody was worried about him and people are surprised that knew him. He was quiet and pleasant and, you know, not like too quiet. He was just people, nobody expected this from the guy.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of really strange things about it. And, you know, you'd mentioned the CIA possibly dosing it. Again, we don't have any evidence. We're not saying that this is what happened. But, I mean, he was a doctorate neuroscientist student, right? So he could have been in a lab with research stuff that could have been similar to things or experimental drugs. I don't know that for a fact, but much more so than if he was a law student or, you know, well, an experimental physics student.
A lot of those people volunteer for paid drug research too. That's pretty common with neuroscience students.
Is it? Yeah.
Yep. Maybe that's how he came for his guns. Taking part in a CIA scopolamine experiment.
Maybe. You know, and I guess nobody's really gotten a hold of his pharmaceutical records. Maybe there is some type of drug that he takes that's a prescription drug that's completely above the board that I'm not saying caused him to do this, but there are instances where these things will create suicidal thoughts or violent tendencies. We've talked about that on cast before.
Where he should have been smoking pot instead, and it would have cured whatever ailed him and not had the side effects.
It made him too lazy to go through all the work to pull off something like this.
Yeah. So I got an email about this hours after it broke from Blag from the Dwarves. Blag Dahlia, who's, you know, supposed to be a hip, cool guy, wrote me and said, "The Second Amendment strikes again. Hey, Mikey, want to go see a movie tonight? How about Batman? Your pal, Blag."
That guy's an ass. Sorry.
I blocked him, man. I blocked him. And, you know, I blocked like four or five people this past week because of shit like that. I mean, if somebody wants to talk facts and figures, I'll do it. But if someone just wants to be an ass, I don't need them in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Or pigeon. Maybe that's the new word for it. Because that just strikes me as the pigeon that knocks over all the pieces and shits on the on the board.
Fiend phone. Who we got on the fiend phone? We're going into an break. I mean, who is this?
This is Diana from the Brush Fryer Show.
Hey, Diana. We're going to keep recording and talk to you here on the break. How's that? And then that goes out onto the feed.
Okay, fair enough. Sounds good. How are you guys doing?
Cool. I got to take a 1 minute break. Talk to Nima. I'll be right back.
All right.
So what's up, Diane?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Pretty good. I really enjoyed being on y'all's show last week. I thought it was lively and a lot of fun.
Oh, cool. Thanks a lot. We normally don't have quite that many callers, so it was a little bit of controlled chaos now and then, but it was really cool to have you guys on. We had a blast.
Oh, well, thanks. So anything in particular on your mind today, or just thought you'd say hi, or what's going on?
Just stopping by and saying hi. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to listen to the podcast or listen to the broadcast today, so I don't even know what you guys are talking about, but I just want to stop by and say, hey, thanks a lot, and hopefully you guys can check out the show on Tuesday, because we're going to have Bad Quaker on.
Yay. Oh, awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely check that out, and I imagine he'd also post that on his feed too, so I'll listen to it one way or the other. We were actually talking about the Aurora shooting and a bunch of different things there. Anything that you had to say or comment about that whole situation?
You know, basically what I've been posting and what I've been talking about is that, you know, obviously it's a tragedy. Obviously it's going to pull some very polar emotions out of people, and about gun control and no gun control, and if someone had a gun, it wouldn't have happened, and you know, just on and on. I just want everyone to make sure that we're not losing the humanity of it all. And please remember the families and everyone that's involved, because we're kind of losing that grip a little bit, you know. Whoever masterminded it and whoever was behind it is a terrible, terrible individual. But the individual that pointed the gun at the infant is also, you know, it's something that we just, I guess I can't express enough how we need to remember that, you know, real humans were involved in this and real families lost loved ones. And it's, we got to remember the people too.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, and I'm really guilty of that, and I'm sure a lot of people are, but, you know, my mind immediately went to the social ramifications of this, the political ramifications, what the gun control lobby is going to say. I almost barely even paused to think about the horribleness of the actual deaths, and so I really appreciate you bringing that up, because that is something we all should pause and realize this isn't just something we can get talking points from. This is an actual tragedy.
Yeah, well, you know, especially, you know, from people who are kind of involved in what we do, you know, we're on the defensive so much because, you know, you're just hit every day. Sometimes it's every hour, you know, with the way that we look at things. What's that?
I was like, yeah, every hour. I feel that way sometimes.
Yeah, you know, you're just constantly bombarded with all the crap that, you know, we're wrong and we're crazy and, you know, we're, you know, just whatever. And, you know, no, really, I think it's the rest of the world that's crazy. All of us are sane, and I'm fine with that. But sometimes, you know, you're just at a defensive stance all the time that, you know, we're just ready to go on the attack and protect ourselves. And but there are people that are reaching out, you know, the community's, you know, coming together and just trying to open everything up for the family. So there hopefully will be a bright point out of this tragedy. And then, you know, we got to do what we got to do, you know.
Yeah, yeah. There've also been tales of heroism coming out of this whole thing. I think it was at least three boyfriends going on dates with their girlfriends actually fell on top of their date, their girls, and took bullets for them. The three men died, but the three girls in this situation obviously, well, not obviously, but they survived thanks to the bravery of their, I don't know what you want to say, their boyfriends, I guess.
Right. Yeah. There's humanity that's coming out, which is wonderful. And that's, you know, again, we got to take a little time to focus on that. And, you know, we do hear and see these bright points coming out of tragedies. And so I think that's wonderful. Chivalry is not dead. It's just it's terrible that it has to come out in a situation like this.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Diana. Anything else you wanted to mention?
No, thanks a lot for having me on, guys. I'm sorry if there's an echo.
No, it's not. Sounds good.
All right, cool. Well, hopefully we'll either talk to you guys on Tuesday night or just sit back and enjoy the show.
I got family coming in this week, and I think Nima's going to Hawaii. No, you're going to Texas this week. And somewhere what are you doing this week, Nima?
I'm going to the Texas coast, but I can still probably hear the show on streaming or download it via iTunes or something. I'll see if I can give it a listen. Maybe not on Tuesday, maybe the next day or the day after.
Yeah,
but
I can't
give it a listen.
I can't call in, but I'll get to listen to it.
Awesome. All right. Well,
call in,
take care, guys.
Call
we'll
in
talk to you later.
Anytime, Diana.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Someone else is calling. Who's calling?
Okay.
Hello. Who's this?
Hi, this is Miles.
Hey, Miles. How you doing? We're on a break right
up
now, but we're recording. What's up?
Not much. Just figured I'd call in. It's been a while.
Yeah. What's on your mind?
Well, three things. One, I was wondering why you guys have never talked about the subject of people who are de facto anarchists.
What's that?
Well, it's basically, you know, someone who just says, you know what, I'm sick and tired of Republicans, Democrats, I give up.
I think we did. I think we said that Bob Dylan was one of those. We didn't say de facto, but Bob Dylan was kind of like that. Is kind of like that.
It reminds me almost of the distinction between somebody who's agnostic and somebody who's atheist. You know, if you're agnostic, you just don't pay any attention to religion. Whereas if you're atheist, you actively believe there's no God.
Right, definitely. The other two things I was going to mention was, you know, all these ridiculous shows they got coming on about the subject of guns now on basic cable.
Yeah. They're very. You mean like the NRA type shows?
Oh no! More like shows like you know, American Guns on the Discovery Channel.
Oh yeah, yeah. Pawn Stars has a lot of gun stuff too.
Yeah. personally, I think a lot of this stuff is, kind of almost like a false flag sort of thing, trying to make people look stupid.
What are the shows like? I haven't gotten a chance to see any of them. I mean, do they portray people who love guns as kind of idiots, or what do they do?
Well, yeah, they kind of do portray them as idiots. But, I mean, one of the things is, I mean, they built a 20-millimeter rifle for this one guy, and they gave it a paint job, and the paint job was, like, pink with white snowflakes all over it.
Well, I've seen girls with pink guns. You know, it's kind of like a way of being tough, but being ladylike or something, girly.
Yeah, I understand that outfit. There's an outfit that makes revolvers, and they came out with a pink revolver, but then they had to come out with another pink revolver.
It's called the Cougar. It's from.
Yeah, so they had to come out with another pink revolver because the first one they came out with, well, it was pink, but it was pink that was the color of Pepto Bismol.
Yeah. What, do they have a trademark on that color or something? Or it just makes people sick?
It's just ugly.
Nima, look on my Facebook. Someone just posted a picture of Status Bitch 2. It's the response to my Status Bitch picture. We're coming back. We're coming back here now. I think we're live on the Freedom Fiends. Yeah, we're back here live. And we got Miles on the phone. We'll talk to Miles for a couple minutes. So, Miles, what are your thoughts on this Aurora shooting and the possibility of it being a false flag? And, Nima, I can hear everything you're clicking. I don't know what's going on, man, but every time you move your hand, it makes a rush of noise. So, Miles, what you got there?
Well, personally, I think the whole Aurora thing is very suspicious. I mean, first of all, the fact that he had this level of preparation, you know, reports of body armor, guns, 150 pounds of ammunition. But one of the ones that really got my attention was listening to Tom Gresham's Gun Talk earlier, and he had a guy on who actually said, I kid you not, that he did not like the thought of people carrying guns in a movie theater, because in the event of a situation like this, he didn't want, you know, some concealed weapons permit holder going, trying to take him down, and as everyone's running around, he gets shot in the back of the head by a concealed weapons permit holder. And
wow.
As the host actually said, really? It really matters? You prefer to get shot by a lunatic than get shot by a concealed weapons permit holder? Well, yeah.
I will say really? One thing. You know, I've heard a lot of gun people saying, if I had been there, it would have gone down different. You know, that's probably true if you were sitting three seats away from him and he didn't see you pulling the gun. But I'll tell you this, if I were having breakfast in IHOP on a Sunday afternoon and someone came in with guns, I'd probably stand up and shoot him. In a darkened movie theater full of tear gas with people scrambling and running over each other for the door, I would probably be trying to get out of there.
Exactly. You know, tactically, that's a real nightmare scenario, night, gas, things like that, but
well, yeah, the
know,
guy
first of all,
the guy basically acted like the government.
Yeah.
He did what the government did. He went in full tack gear and threw some tear gas at some innocent people. That's what the government does a lot of times.
Well, that kind of thinking that hey, I don't want to shoot with my little pistol because I'm too far away and I can't hit this guy with an M16. I mean, why don't we all carry rifles? You know, to me, that's the cultural push maybe we should move towards. Why don't we all just carry rifles with long ranges so this kind of stuff can't happen?
Well, one of the things is I always sit in the center seat, the aisle seat, in case, you know, something happens. But one of the things is, though, the way this guy did it, I mean, the gas, okay, that was a clever part, but he walked in the front of the theater, not the back of the theater. If he'd been walking in the back, then it would have, that's one thing. But since he was in front of everyone, if I'd been there, and especially after he fired that first shot into the roof, I probably would have unloaded on him and probably would have had a pretty clear shot, because you're not going to run towards the bad guy in the middle of everything.
You know, there's one thing that's not getting a lot of news is there's one witness who was in the theater. She says that somebody right before it happened looked like they were getting a phone call on a cell phone, got up holding a cell phone to their ear, walked to the exit and put it ajar. And that's the door this guy came in. Like didn't go out and the alarm didn't go off on it. Just like, it sounds like there was somebody in cahoots with him, which is against all other witness statements and claims. You know, one thing that's really bugging me about this is the police issued a statement saying, we do not believe that this is terrorism related. And I'm like, this is the very definition of terror. But this is the definition of terrorism. You know, terrorism is something that is intended to or causes mass hysteria. And that's exactly what this has done. I mean, I guess they meant he wasn't Muslim and he wasn't some, you know, middle-aged white constitutionalist sovereign citizen, you know. But this is terrorism.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, one of the things I was thinking of was, what, they don't have his computer and they have his search history, you know. Nidal Hassan, the Fort Hood shooter, he just basically, you know, had some emails with some jihadists and they considered that, you know, Muslim jihad terrorism. This guy didn't go on a few, you know, extremist websites or something like that, which would be enough to label him as a terrorist.
Yeah, and do it without using a VPN. Oops. So I'm reading now something on Fox News that said that the shooting suspect, and that's another thing. Generally, when police and news give statements about people like this, they call them, you know, suspected shooter or suspected whatever. They're saying this guy did it, which is unusual and not how they usually do it. And that's subtle.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. The stories I were reading the day of and the day after all seem to call him the suspected shooter. Stories are coming out now where they call him the shooter?
I've seen Fox call him the shooter, and I've seen someone from the Aurora Police Department giving an interview calling him the shooter. You know, generally, the reason they do that is because it can be argued by his attorney that he couldn't get a fair trial because he was painted as guilty in the press.
Well,
it's funny, but it's, you know, it's constitutionalism is what it is.
Well, one of the things too, though, is as long as you don't mention his name in the same paragraph or sentence when you say the shooter. I mean, when you're describing a scene, you obviously have to say the shooter had this type of weapon, the shooter shot this many people, because that's true. And you're not saying that he by name is the shooter, but you're saying whoever was the shooter has
Is this something you know from what you were told as a reporter?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can say that you can definitely describe a situation as long as you're not using his name and calling him the person who did this. But if you say the shooter did this, or the shooter had this weapon, or the person was shot with a 45 caliber, then you can say the shooter as long as you're not referring to a specific person and calling that person the shooter.
Ah.
Interesting. Well, the whole thing is, I mean, I once heard an interesting quote on the internet that said, you know, sometimes I think we need more running from saber-toothed tigers to put life in perspective.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, this guy, I mean, people like this should have been put down by legal weapons carriers. I mean, when they do a trial for one of these people, it always just seems to go totally pear-shaped in some way or another.
Well, here's another interesting thing that came out was that the suspect filled out an application to become a member of a local gun range, and the owner of the range didn't want to give it to him. He thought the guy was wonky and called him at his home and was really freaked out by his bizarre, drunk-sounding Batman-themed answering message.
I heard a similar thing about one of the guys who sold him one of his guns. Said, you know, this guy, you know, perhaps shouldn't have this type of gun.
But sold it to him anyway? That's ridiculous. You know, that's another thing of, like, I think in a free market, people would be freer to not sell someone a gun. I mean, I guess any gun shop owner can do that now, but I don't think it's exercised very commonly where, you know, they run a background check, it's clean, and then the guy just doesn't sell it to the person because they think he's wonky.
I totally think there'd be more of a culture of self-regulation in that way in a free market, because people would take it upon themselves as their own responsibility if they didn't sort of think they were outsourcing that to the officials or the powers that be.
Well, yeah. But I do know that a gun range in Van Nuys, California, Van Nuys that DJ and I used to go to, I used to chat with the guy who owned it. And he's actually been on that show, The Man Show, or no, Mansers, a bunch of times. Whenever they do gun stuff, they use him and his range. He told me that he often, well, not often, but he has, you know, many times over the years refused service to somebody who comes in and doesn't have their own gun and wants to rent a gun and seems depressed because he has had a couple people commit suicide at his range. They come in, rent a gun, buy some ammo, send a couple rounds down range, and then shoot themselves in the range with like people standing next to him.
Which on European ranges, they actually have a lanyard system built in for pistols to prevent you from doing that. And it was really funny reading about that, where
how'd that work?
People said, oh my God, I thought that was an anti-theft precaution.
How'd that work?
Well, this is the thing. It's a lanyard. You hook the gun to this lanyard, and the idea is it's suspended in the air, and you can't, you know, put it to your head. But you could still turn it around and shoot yourself in with it.
Boy, that's nanny bullshit. I mean, bullcrap. Well, we're going into a little mini segment of commercials here. It's been good to have you on. You got any closing arguments there, sir? Closing statements?
No, pretty much said everything I wanted to say.
All right. Thanks. Call in anytime, man.
All right. No problem.
Worms.
Bye. Worms.
Worms. Worms, 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 worms. Freedom Fiends live. We're back.
What it do, Fiends? Yo. We are. And if you want to call in, you can be a part of the show. Just call in at 307-215-5171. We'd love to hear from you.
So I got a lot more I could say about that shooting in Aurora, but I'm sick of it, and I need a puppy parade. But the only puppy parade I have handy is this video you sent me of the Anaheim police sicking a dog on a mother and child.
Ugh. Yeah, that's not very puppy parade-y, is it?
I know. You know,
yeah,
that's like,
that was horrifying.
That's like four blocks from where my stepson used to live in Anaheim. And he got stopped there a lot for no reason. It's not far from there, too, that he got pulled over at gunpoint for running a stoplight.
At gunpoint? Like, the cops actually had their guns sighted on him just for running a stop?
Oh, they held a gun to his head. They pulled him out of his car and threw him to the ground and cuffed him and then found his legally possessed Mosin ammo and said it was illegal cop killer bullets and swore at him for 45 minutes till the watch commander came down and said, that's legal ammunition for an antique rifle. Let him go.
Wow. Anaheim, isn't that the same town where Disneyland is located?
It certainly is, sir. You know, it's interesting. Wow. I'm looking at this video, which I'm going to post, which is the Anaheim KCAL News, where they're making it look as horrible as it was. It was basically, it was a small neighborhood, mostly Mexican family protest for the cops having shot someone recently for no reason. And the cops came out to this and shot them with bean bags and sicked a police dog on a mother and a little kid. Now, if you sicked your dog or if your dog got loose, which is interesting because the LA Times is playing it differently, like these horrible people were throwing bottles at the police. So and it says a police dog somehow got free. And I'm thinking like, yeah, he sicked it on him. You can see it in the video. And the LA Times is trying to make this look cop friendly. The Anaheim TV affiliate is actually showing it more like it was. And the interesting thing to me is I'm thinking if your dog got loose and bit a child, you would get sued and they would put your dog down.
They would kill the dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not only that, but the dog acts that way because he was trained that way. I mean, they train police dogs to be violent and attack people. Now, if you do that with your own dog, your own pit bull, you can get in trouble with the government. You can get the dog taken away.
If you do that with your poodle, you can get your dog taken away.
Yeah. And this scene was just disgusting. Watching police, I mean, they call them less than lethal because they can still kill. And they were just pointing their guns at this crowd of people and just firing away like it was a firing range and they were having a good old time of it. Just disgusting. And not only that, but okay, so this wasn't like a group of rabble rousers that just hate cops and saw them shoot somebody. This was the seventh officer involved shooting, the seventh time this year, I think, in this neighborhood that those police officers killed somebody in that neighborhood. Seven.
Yeah. Where was it recently that the cops shot a handcuffed person? Was that LA or Anaheim?
I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's just disgusting that they can get away with that, killing seven people. And then after that, when you finally get fed up and confront them as a community, They point their guns at you and just start pulling the trigger as if it's just the funnest thing in the world to them.
Anaheim, the happiest place on earth.
For police, apparently.
Hey, in that video, is that newscaster Perd Hapley,
the guy who plays... He sure is, yes.
Is it the same actor?
I believe so. I think that's the puppy parade part of the story is the live shot. I'm pretty sure if he's not Perd Hadley, then he's a twin.
Perd Hapley from Parks and Recreation.
Look up his name on IMDb or something.
I'm looking it up right now. It's played by Jay Jackson. Was that the guy's name?
I don't know, man. I'll play the video again, but...
I'll play the video again.
Let me see here. I'm just going to...
But every time you click, it's like daggers in my heart.
Yeah. I'm going to scrub to...
Yeah, I'm doing that too.
See if he's got a super on his name.
What's a super? A type of tagline?
Yep, sure is. Jay Jackson.
Is it
Jay
Jackson?
Jay Jackson. KCAL 9 News. Yep, sure is.
Oh, my God. So I'm looking on the Wikipedia page for Parks and Recreation. Perd Hapley is played by Jay Jackson... But it doesn't say anything here about him actually being a real TV reporter. Maybe he got the job because he was Perd Hapley. That'd be weird. That'd be life imitating art.
I bet it's the other way around. And that's not unprecedented. I mean, in Arrested Development, the guy who plays the news anchor, isn't he like a staple news anchor in that town?
Yeah.
In LA?
Yeah.
So.
Jay Jackson.
I mean, I guess it makes sense if you have if you have a TV studio where you do fiction, I mean, it's easy to just pull somebody from across the hallway and say, hey,
I don't know, Nima. The idea of a real newscaster playing one in a movie or TV just seems wrong to me. Doesn't it to you, Nima?
I don't know. I guess not.
I'm making a joke because you did it in the Guns and Weed movie.
Oh, crap. I forgot about that.
Man, your resume is so long now, you just can't remember parts of it.
I guess so. I always enjoy it, though. Not that I'm a huge fan of Slow Jam the News, because they let Obama slow jam his own news on what's that show? Not the Jimmy Fallon show. But I love that they have the Roots, and I do love it when they bring Brian Williams on, because I think that's funny, even though he's a statist, too. It's just kind of funny. Although I think Perd is probably my favorite fictional news personality.
Funny, he is. Although you haven't seen Network, have you? You need to see Network.
I saw that one episode that we discussed, but I haven't watched any episodes since then. No,
that's the Newsroom. Oh, I'm talking about the Newsroom. 1972 movie.
Yes.
Network.
No, I haven't. Didn't you say it's all up on YouTube, though?
No. It's on
Netflix. Hulu.
No, you're right. No. Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah,
the main guy in that is
Howard
your favorite
Beale.
TV
Howard,
news.
Howard Beale is my favorite fictitious, fictional TV news reporter by far, but Perd is a close second, I think. There's another guy. I mean, you said on Parks and Rec, there's another L.A. area newscaster who plays a newscaster on there. He's the one that had a gun held on him on TV in real life one time and disarmed the guy.
Wait, no, that's not Parks and Rec. That's Arrested Development, right?
Okay, you're right. I'm getting mixed up because they're both great. Perd Hapley, played by Jay Jackson. I'm looking Jay Jackson up on IMDb. It doesn't say anything about him being a TV newscaster in Orange County. It has him playing a newscaster on like 10 movies and TV shows, though.
Okay.
Including The Mentalist.
Yeah. Well, I guess the thing was, since he's so nationally known as Perd Hadley or Hapley or whatever his name is, seeing him do this very, very serious story was kind of a mind equals blown kind of thing. Yes. I was like, what, is that Perd? Oh, wait, the cops are shooting people. I guess that's more important. Which is more important.
Because Perd not do the news? Doesn't he do like the morning puppy parade, like Good Morning Pawnee or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's some goofy, not serious news thing. Although he does also moderate the candidate debates for city council, which are really hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, if Perd were covering the show, the thing that this guy was covering in real life, he'd probably be talking about how like cute the puppies are and how the Pawnee has spent money on the new uniforms for the cops and like frame it so you can't see them beating people. It'd be like police outreach, meet your neighborhood cop event today in Pawnee. People brought their dogs. The police brought their dogs. A good time was had by all. Yeah. There were
police
babies.
Shot festive beanbags into the crowd and let them pet their puppies.
Yes.
Yeah. Tired of the false economy.
Yes.
Want to carry real money in a form.
Nima's making noise in the background, but what's up, Ben Stone?
Hey, I just wanted to call in, see if you guys wanted to talk about the shooting thing or if you were done with it.
Yeah, I wish Nima would mute, man. He's making horrible noises in the background there, but apparently his mixer doesn't have a mute knob.
Here, I'll ride the volume. Here, it's down while I'm playing around.
All right.
Yeah. There was a lot of background Nima noise through the podcast.
Yeah, there was. So what's on your mind, Ben?
Are we on? Are we?
We're on a break. We're on a break, but we'll you talk and we'll carry you back into the after the break.
Okay.
We're recording.
Fox Radio News that LRN is playing.
Yeah.
Is playing a little clip from the local police chief where he says something to the effect of, "Well, we had lessons learned from Columbine." And so we came in, and our officers did really a good job, and I'm so proud of him. And he actually breaks into tears, but there's a problem with that. You know, one of the criticisms of Columbine was that they showed up on the outside while the shooters were still alive, killing people, and the cowardice of the police, they were afraid to go in and do anything. And the odd thing about this latest shooting is that there's police vehicle recordings of the cops showing up.
Hang on a sec. Nima, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You're still as loud as ever, man. I mean, it sounds like someone's moving furniture while Ben's talking.
Okay.
Can't you just mute?
Sure.
Until you're ready to talk and not typing and not moving equipment around? It's really loud. All right, go ahead, Ben.
Anyway, in the latest shooting, the cops showed up while the shooting was still going on, and they waited outside until the guy was done and came out. That's exactly what they did in Columbine, except the shooters killed themselves.
Yeah.
So this is still pure cowardice on the part of the cops, and this stinking police chief breaks into tears talking about how proud he is of his cops, of his heroes.
Well, it's news, and news is usually bullshit. Bullcrap. Yeah. Sorry, we're on a radio station out in Ohio. I can't cuss. You know, it's weird to me. I was saying to DJ, it's weird to me that Ian is programming the Onion News right before or right after, like, Fox News. I'm like, that really makes it confusing. And she's like, really? You don't get that? And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, I think he's doing that intentionally to show that Fox News is as ridiculous as the Onion, but just not funny. And I'm like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, I took it that way. He's mocking Fox News.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if you wanted to go in that direction or not, but
well, we just did. We did. And if you got more on it, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to do like the internet bravado. I had five guns pulled at me four times, triggers pulled three times, fired twice, hit. I would charge him and cut his throat. I didn't want to do that thing.
Well,
but
you have been shot. Not many people we know have who carry guns. What do you think about the possibility of this guy being a Manchurian candidate brainwashing victim of the government?
You know, I hate to say anything in absolute, but it sure does stink that way.
Yeah, you know, your thing about your show about conspiracy theories, your episode on that, really just like solidified my belief on that, which is since Operation Northwoods happened and MKUltra happened, anything could happen. But
yeah,
I'm not going to say yes for sure without proof.
Yeah.
There's a Dead Kennedys line about something like that. It says, in 10 years or so, they'll leak the truth. But by then, it's only so much paper.
Yeah, actually, that's good.
Yeah, it's a line. It's a line. It's a song called "I Am the Owl," which a lot of people think is some reference to the Bilderberg, you know, owl ceremony.
Yeah.
But I don't think it is. I think it's just it's about the CIA. But it says, "I am the owl. I seek out the fowl. Wipe them away. Keep America clean for clean living folks like me." And, you know, an owl is a night-dwelling predator that scoops other smaller animals out of the sky and disappears them and devours them. I mean, that's what he's saying. And it's got a line in it about, like, the press. They never even cared why a youth leader it's about, like, the government trying to figure out a way to get rid of some youth leader. And they're like, you know, fill him full of LSD and turn him loose on a crowded freeway. And it says, the press, they never even cared why a youth leader walked into a speeding car. In 10 years or so, we'll leak the truth, but by then it's only so much paper. Watergate hurt, but nothing really ever changed. I still build the fires God, what is it? The first line of it is, I am your plumber. I never really went away. I still bug your bedroom, pick up everything you say. It can be a boring job to monitor all day your boring life. I play tape recordings of you for my friends at night. We got a girl in bed with you. You're on candid camera. We just unelected you.
You need to do that when the LRN is back on again, because that is exactly right. You guys were talking
about
a minute ago.
This goes out. We're recording. This goes out on the podcast, so it goes out on LRN at night.
Yeah.
We're live again, too. More.
Yeah, we're live again.
Oh, are we live?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been live for like 2-3 minutes.
I love LRN.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thumbs up.
You love LRN, but you and I are both making competing networks in some way. Not really.
Yeah.
We're not competing. And we love LRN. We're going to keep working with it.
I don't know how much of that went out on LRN.
I don't think LRN would discourage competition. I think they want everybody to promote liberty as much as possible.
I know.
Yeah. But what you were saying was really important there. And what I can't remember if it was you or Nima that said earlier that, in a few weeks or whatever, this is all going to be forgotten. You know, all the details will be just washed under the reef and nobody will think about it. And all the really important facts of this will just get washed away, and it'll just be one of those other things that stick in your mind.
Everybody should go listen.
See, here's the thing about it being a possible Manchurian candidate thing. If it is, I think it would behoove them to make sure he was still alive, and maybe that's a reason. I'm just speculating. This isn't. I don't have any evidence. But since he is alive, he is going to be in the news every now and then, and it'll give the media cause to bring all this up again. So it'll still get replayed when he gets arraigned, when he goes to court. And so it'll be in the news cycle for a year or so, or longer.
Although you'd have to do long-term brainwashing to make that work. You know, whereas... Go ahead.
Let me drop a name. I'm going to try to get an interview with a guy named Jake Shannon. He runs a radio show out of Salt Lake City, and he is a professional hypnosist.
Hypnotist.
Anyway... and Jake and I have talked on several occasions, specifically talking about Manchurian candidate type stuff. And this guy is the real deal. He really does this for a living, not just like parlor tricks. And he has some amazing things to say about this. And that's all. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he's on vacation right now. It's his birthday. He's over in Europe and he's having some fun. So, you know, give him a break. But when he gets back, I definitely want to find out what he has to say about this.
Yeah, that sounds like a great perspective to have. I look forward to that.
You know what William S. Burroughs said? He said, after a shooting spree, they always want to take the guns away from the people who didn't do it.
Yeah.
I sure as hell don't want to live in a society where the only people allowed guns are the police and the military.
Yeah. Well, like they're so dependable to, you know,
or competent,
take care of them.
Or not violent. Well,
it's not like you could ever bribe anybody in the police or the military to get guns from them, right?
Well, and also there's a statistic that actually comes from the FBI, which is the federal overseer of all police departments, that you are 5 times more likely to be murdered by a policeman and 3 times more likely to be raped by a policeman than by a non-policeman. And that's not talking about, that's not including officer-involved shootings in the line of duty. That's murdered, like off-duty.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is absolutely true. I've read that on the .gov. Website. That is an absolutely true statistic the government admits to.
I was looking for a stat like that. I did come up with, according to Wikipedia, if you do include officer-involved shootings and any time cops actually are involved in killing somebody, it's about 400 people a year. So 400 people a year in this country are killed at the hands or due to some action of a police officer.
Well, a lot more must be murdered by off-duty policemen if it's five times as many, because a lot more than 400 people are murdered in America every year.
Yeah, yeah. I think the number of murders in America every year is like 14,000.
From if I recall the statistics from .gov, a lot of the problems were like domestic disputes from cops with their families and off-duty rapes and off-duty murders, and the list just goes on and on. It's really pretty horrific when you look at the whole. The all the statistics, and it's all coming from, I mean, they're admitting it, you know.
That's the bizarre part.
Yeah. And these are the people that some people just want them to have the monopoly on force. They want them to be the only ones with the guns.
Right. Crazy.
Yeah. Crazy.
And we're the ones they accuse of wanting a you just believe in a utopia where everybody loves each other and holds hands.
Well, I saw an image today that really summed that up. Was like, you know, some people say libertarianism is a cult or that libertarians act culty, and I'm like, and they were, the response was like, and it's not culty to, you know, worship the state, pledge allegiance to it, have pictures of its leaders on your wall like movie stars.
Sing songs about Woods. It in class.
Send your kids to die for it proudly.
Yeah, that was Tom Woods.
Yep.
Who's Tom Woods? Who's that?
He's a great libertarian writer.
Yeah. Some people accuse him of being a statist, but he's really not. He's an incrementalist. He believes, like the Ron Paul line, that we can slowly get back to liberty. But deep down, he's an anarchist, and he's pretty solid. He's just messed up on that one point.
Cool. We're going into a little, what do we call them, Nima? Bunch of ads here. We'll be back.
There you go. We got to pay the bills.
We got to pay the bills. We'll be back. And you can,
you want me to let go so somebody else can call?
Yeah, let's do that. Thanks for calling in, Ben Stone of Bad Quaker Podcast.
Take care,
guys.
Thanks
for calling, Mr. Quaker.
Worms.
Bye.
Peace.
Man. So I forgot to record.
Sorry, guys.
So I screwed up. I just forgot to record that. We were talking about how you fixed the problem with your audio, which was that you were using the internal mic on your computer, and now you're using your good mic, and things are all good.
Yeah. Yep. And I'm sorry, and I get the Status Bitch Award for podcasting, because
you
was
no
horrible.
Longer sound like the central scrutinizer, as Lou said.
Thank God. Oh, man. I'm sorry, guys. It happens every now and then. I'm human.
Well, I think what we should do is have someone type up a script of everything we said today on the cast and then re-record it. I'm kidding.
That's too much work, man.
I know.
We'll just not do it again.
So I wanted to say one more thing about that guy Blag from the Dwarves. Yeah. That guy's not only anti-gun, he's pro-statist. Like, I did an interview with him, and he was talking about how great the state is and how they're going to solve everything. And I'm like, that guy's in a popular punk rock band. And I'm like, that is so unpunk, man, talking about how great the government is and how they're going to save everything. And that guy is also really into violence, and he hates guns. Like, he's been in a lot of fist fights. He writes songs about how cool fighting is, but he's anti-gun. Some hipsters are so uninformed and also so unhip.
I think so, yeah. And I think, at least from young lefties and young statists,
that guy's,
I feel like
50,
they glorify.
Man. That guy's 50. Okay. It's cute when you're 30. It's not cute when you're 50.
I don't think it's cute at any age, but
It's cute shooting off your mouth and being a jackass and being like, yeah, man, violence is cool. You know, you can pull that off when you're 25 and in a loud punk rock band. But when you're 50 and you're still doing that, and that's the thing you do, and it's wrong, it's really unhip, man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, screw that guy.
We were
Good
talking
job
about
blocking him.
Yeah. See, I block people. And people take me to task for it. But, you know, I mean, the guy you block could be the crazy guy. The crazy guy who goes and shoots a bunch of people. And you don't want him to on your friends list when the FBI goes checking him out.
Status blocker. In stores now.
Yeah. Yeah.
This should be the next drug we do a fake ad for.
You know, we were talking about the word hipster. And you were like, when is that from? The 60s? And I looked it up. It's actually from like 1935. It was for jazz fans. Hipster.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well.
And they also, in the 50s, used Hepcat.
Hepcat, yeah. I kind of like that, though. Hepcat. I have no idea where it comes from, though. It's why cat, hep and not, it's not
a,
hip?
I guess it's a cat with hepatitis. I don't know.
Because it's so sick. Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Exactly. Oh, one other thing we planned on talking on but didn't get to because of my horrible mic condition and the serendipitous event of Ben calling in and shedding some science on us. Apparently, I was talking about complaining about Texas gun laws and the signs in business windows. We did some research on that, and there's apparently two signs you'll mainly see or more in the windows of Texas businesses. One is it has this weird 51% thing, which it doesn't explain, and I never understood what it was. But apparently, if a business derives 51% of its money
or
from
more
alcohol sales, they're required to post a sign that says you cannot conceal carry a weapon on the premises. The other sign you see at places that aren't bars, they call the 30.06 sign. And that is voluntary. A business can put that on their door or wall if they don't want people who have concealed carry permits to patronize their business or at least to exercise their concealed carry rights while they're inside of the business. But luckily, there's a whole bunch of stipulations, like tons of them. If it's not in both English and Spanish, it's defunct. You can disregard it. If it doesn't have text that's at least an inch greater in height, you can disregard the sign and just
Fiend
carry anyway.
Phone. Fiend phone.
And it has to be in Fiend different phone. Colors, conspicuous, all sorts of things. So check those out before you put your gun back in your glove box. Fiend, what's up?
Caller?
You got a Fiend there?
Hello?
Hello?
Who's this? You're on the air.
Frank.
Frank Fidati?
What's up?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up? You wrecked Nima's audio.
Man.
You wrecked Nima's audio.
No, it wasn't his fault. It's my fault.
I'm kidding, man. I'm kidding.
I apologize.
I was behind the keyboard.
You've disappointed me, Frank. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
So, wait a minute.
What?
Frank, hold on.
Yeah?
Why do I hear Nima talking on the live podcast I'm listening to, but you guys are not talking?
What? What do you mean?
What do you mean?
What?
No, like I'm listening to the live podcast right now.
Yeah.
Oh, now I hear. I think the audio may be lagging.
The audio does lag. It's
yeah,
intentional.
It's,
it buffers mm-hmm. its to keep people having solid
okay.
connections. You should turn down your computer when you call.
Yeah, whenever you call okay. into a call-in show, make sure to turn down the source audio.
The radio or the computer.
Right.
Always.
Yeah.
No, but Nima was talking about the 51% sign. I
yeah.
have that on the boat I work on because all the money the boat makes is 51%, I guess, or more of alcohol sales.
So now here's a question. If you're an employee, I mean, have they told you guys that if you work there, you still can't carry? Is it different for employees than it is for, customers?
I talked to the captain about it. I don't think they'd want any employees carrying a gun, but I think the captain might be able to carry a gun on him, like a handgun if he wanted to.
A sidearm to control his troops.
Yeah.
To prevent
mutiny.
I mean,
like, if you're driving if you're driving a big yacht and somebody just busts out shooting, how are you going to be able to, I guess it wouldn't matter, but, you'd have to leave the steering wheel of the boat and go figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Are there guards? I mean, is there private security? I don't imagine there's cops that go out on these luxury yacht cruises. Are there armed guards or any kind of private security, or is that just
the only time we've had cops on the boat is when they had the space shuttle, the mock space shuttle coming to NASA, and we were allowed in like 50 feet of it or something like that, and they had two cops on board, but that's the only time. Other than that, they don't have cops or security guards on the boat.
Nima, did you mention that the what they call the Ghostbuster type third type of, just guns with a line, red line through it, that those signs don't legally require you to not bring a gun in Texas?
Ah, no, I didn't get to that. Just those big signs you see, they call them Ghostbuster signs in forums, where it's the circle with the line through it and the gun underneath it. You can disregard those. Those aren't true signs that prevent people from carrying in the business. Those are disregarded. The other thing is, I don't know if I mentioned this before Frank called, but the words have to be in contrasting colors, which I'm not sure. Okay, I guess that means that if it's on a white wall, it has to be black letters and vice versa. But you can't, like, engrave it into a stone or a metal plate because that'll be non-compliant. So there are signs that if they don't follow these specific rules, you can just disregard them. But I'm wondering, though, as a proponent of private property rights, if a business is like does a Ghostbuster sign or clearly states somewhere that they don't want guns, but the law written on paper says that you can carry guns, do you defer to the law or do you defer to the private property owner?
Well, we're going at the end here, and I just want to say Nima said that he would respect the Ghostbuster sign, and I said I wouldn't because he said he would because it's private property. I carry my private property with me in a 3-foot bubble.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in, Frank.
Hey, thank y'all.
We'll have you on longer at some point.
Cool.
Worms.
Yeah, worms. I suppose you might be right about that, but we'll pick that up on another cast.
Yeah.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com. That's why we're very upset about freedomfiends.cz. FreedomFiends.cz is a Liberty Media archive of Freedom Fiends material hosted in the Czech Republic. FreedomFiends.cz is outside the jurisdiction of the Watchers, who employ me, the Central Scrutinizer, to keep you from hearing things that might make you think. My fellow scrutinizers and I do not want you to visit freedomfiends.cz. Do not visit freedomfiends.cz.